Okay, there's a neshama, which the body consists of two parts. One is the neshama, which is the soul, and the second part is it consists of the physical body, which of course is the residence of the soul. Now, the neshama itself consists of five parts. The first part is called the nefesh, which is connected to the liver. The second part is called the ruach, which is connected to the heart. The third part is called the neshama, which I mentioned is a part, although the word neshama also refers to the totality. So the third part is called the neshama, which is connected to the brain. The fourth part is called the chaya, and that is not connected to any specific organ. It rather surrounds the body like an aura, you see. It's like a light that envelops the entire body itself. And the fifth part is called the yechida. Now the yechida is not in any way connected to the physical body, neither to its organ, neither to its organ, the organs, or to the body as a whole, like the chaya. The yechida floats. And the reason why it's called the yechida is because that is the connection that every neshama has to God. So yechida means unique or one, because it is connected to the being that is unique or one. There you are. There are five parts of the neshama. Okay?
Yes.
Now, just like we have five parts, okay, Adam HaRishon also had five parts. He had yechida, and he had the chaya, neshama, ruach, and nefesh. Now, when he sinned, which means he ate from the tree of knowledge, okay, then four parts became contaminated, tum'ah, you see. But right before he ate from the tree, his yechidah separated completely from Adam. Therefore, what is interesting is that the yechidah, which is the yechidah of Adam HaRishon, the first man, never was contaminated by the sin of Adam HaRishon, you see, which is very important. Now, the yechidah itself split. After it left, it split. Yechidah is considered as the crown of the neshama, because, like I said, it is the highest part, and it connects to the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, when you're in Olam Haba, even Gan Eden, the way you experience God is through your yechidah. That's how you experience Him, you see. So the yechidah split after it separated from Adam HaRishon. Now, the significance of that, like I said, is the yechidah never became contaminated. So the yechidah is the totality of all the yechidahs of Jews. In other words, if you think about it, Adam HaRishon's neshama really encompassed everybody, because there was only one man, Adam, and he was really the totality of every Jew that would ever live. So his yechidah, therefore, is what's called the collective of every yechidah of every Jew. In other words, his nefesh was the collective of every nefesh of Jews. Same thing with his ruach, is the collective of everybody. And you have the neshama and the chaya. So the yechidah really is the collective yechidah of every Jew that would ever live, which means my yechidah, your yechidah, everybody's yechidah is connected, was encapsulated, so to speak, or encompassed by the yechid of Adam HaRishon, you see. Therefore, theoretically, Adam HaRishon was really everybody in that sense. Now, like I mentioned, yechid of Adam HaRishon separated into two parts. One is the yechidah of one part, and the second thing is the yechidah that was split from the other part. So you now have two yechidahs, you see. Now, what is the significance of that? Now, what the Mashiach does when he comes is he connects all the Jewish souls to God. In fact, that's the way we can experience God. In other words, in the time of the Mashiach, it says, Kimolo Oretz Deo, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God, like the waters covers the seabed. But how does that work? Well, like I said, the way you really experience God is only through the Yechida. That's how you do it, you see. Now, if the Mashiach, therefore, brings this presence back, obviously, he has to have the Yechida of all Jews. And therefore, what we now realize is the Yechida of Adam HaRishon, which split. So, one Yechida, or one part, that is the crown of the Mashiach ben Yosef, you see. And that is how he brings the presence of God back, where all Jews experience it, you see. And that is because he has the Yechida, or one half of the Yechida, of Adam HaRishon, which really is a collective of all Jews. So therefore, the Mashiach is an individual that has to have the Yechida, you see, of Adam HaRishon. So, one half of the Yechida goes on top of or connects to the Mashiach ben Yosef. The other part, the other half of Yechida, which of course used to be on Adam HaRishon, that becomes the crown for the Mashiach ben David. You see? And that's how they do their thing. Because each one of them, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, both of them have the Yechida of Adam HaRishon, which split right before the Chet. In fact, it is the Yechida that makes the Mashiach. Because without the Yechida of all mankind, which is now distributed in two parts, between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, they cannot bring down the presence of God, because that's the conduit. So we now realize something very, very important, is that the Yechid of Adam HaRishon is the totality of the Yechid of every Jew, wrapped up in one thing. Before the Chet, it split, and now there are two, one half Yechida and the other half Yechida. And therefore, in the Messianic era, which is what I said, that the Mashiach, especially Ben Yosef, brings the presence and the knowledge of God throughout the entire universe, it can only come through the Yechida of Adam HaRishon. Therefore, the Yechida of Adam HaRishon is the crown or the mechanism by which the Mashiach brings the Ribbono Shel Olam back into creation. And it's not only true of the Mashiach Ben Yosef, but it's also true of the Mashiach ben David. Do you see what I'm saying so far?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that is the significance. Great. Now, that's the first part of the story. The second part of the story is this, and then you understand who the Mashiach is, at least in the spiritual way. The second part is this, is that who is the soul of the Mashiach ben Yosef and the soul of Mashiach ben David, you see? Well, it comes out like this, that the Mashiach ben Yosef really is the neshama of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef, the one that lived in Egypt. He is the soul, really, of the Mashiach, of Yosef HaTzadik, you see. Now, the one who's the neshama of Mashiach ben David is David HaMelech, okay? It used to be Yehuda, because we know that it says, L'sosa shevet me Yehuda, that the scepter of kingship will never be removed from Yehuda. But what happened was, since Yehuda was the one responsible to sell Yosef HaTzadik to the Egyptians, we know that, he's the one who sold them, right? And all the brothers went along, because Yehuda was the greatest, at that point, the leader of the Shvatim. Therefore, that soul of the Mashiach, Ben David, was taken away from him because of that sin, that incident, that he sold Yosef. And that soul of the Mashiach ben David is now given to David HaMelech, who's also a descendant, you see, of Yehuda, or rather David HaMelech, you see. So therefore, Yehuda originally had the neshama of the Mashiach, and therefore, that's one, that was taken away from him because he sold Yosef, and that was given to David HaMelech. The neshama of Mashiach ben Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik, right? And he still retains that. Now, what is important to understand is this, is that there are different levels of neshamas. Adam HaRishon was the greatest neshama ever to exist, and he included the totality of all Jews. That's Adam HaRishon. Now, so when he sinned, okay, then the neshamas of Adam HaRishon became fragmented. And each aspect was now put into an individual body and given consciousness. Therefore, what we recognize is that there are different levels of neshamas, you see. The neshama hakoleles, which is the neshama which is organized or includes all neshamas, was Adam. However, after him, his neshama now sort of was divided into three eventually, and that became the Ovis. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And they are called, they are the patriarchs, they are the neshama, again, which was used to be in Adam, and they are like sort of the first level of neshamas. And then they had what's called sparks, just like a fire. There's a fire and it gives off sparks. And each spark is like the original fire, you see. Each spark of an original fire, which is the primary, can enter a physical body and assume a separate consciousness, you see. Now, therefore, the Ovis, first was Adam, which split into three, which is the three Ovis, okay. That split into 12. Yaakov split into 12, which is the Shvatim, you see. Now, the Shvatim now issued, their neshamas issued sparks, which became the 600,000 Jews that went out of Egypt. You see, so each one has a spark, and the Klal Yisrael is nothing more than all the sparks that emanated, see, from the 12 tribes. Okay, so that's a very important idea. Now, if we go back to the Mashiach ben Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik had the neshama of the Mashiach ben Yosef. But he wasn't Mashiach ben Yosef. He is what's called a candidate for the Mashiach ben Yosef. What does that mean? That means, ultimately speaking, he will be in his galgel in generation after generation. And therefore, in each generation, there is always one of the shrushim of the Mashiach ben Yosef. In other words, the neshama of Mashiach ben Yosef, let's call that the root, or not even the root, let's call that the foundation. The neshama of Mashiach, of Yosef HaTzadik, is called the foundational soul of the Mashiach. Now, from that, sparks emit. But those sparks that come out of the Mashiach ben Yosef HaTzadik's foundational neshama are called shrushim, roots. And what the Rambam does is he, in each generation, since it is possible for that generation to have the Geula, the redemption, therefore each Shirish inhabits one physical person throughout every generation. Comes out that through all the generations, since the Shvatim or Yosef, every generation had a person whose neshama was a Shirish of Yosef HaTzadik. You see, but he was a shirish. That means he was a candidate. And in the generation that would be worthy of the geula, then the yechida of Adam HaRishon would now crown that Shurish Neshama of Yosef in that particular generation. You see the way it works? Therefore, what is Nisgalgil, circulates or reincarnates, really, is a Shurish of Mashiach ben Yosef, which really emanates from the foundation Neshama of Yosef HaTzadik. You see, that's the way it works. Now, therefore that person, since he has a Shurish of Mashiach ben Yosef, can be Mashiach ben Yosef only, A, if the generation is found worthy, where the redemption happens in that generation. And the way he becomes Mashiach, since he will usher in the divine presence, or make it known to all Jews, must have the Yechidah of Adam HaRishon, which is designated for the Mashiach ben Yosef. Therefore, the one who will be Mashiach will have three things. One, he will have the foundational neshama of Yosef HaTzadik. That will be connected to a shurish of Yosef HaTzadik, you see. And therefore, he will be crowned with the Yechidah of the Mashiach ben Yosef, which was originally the Yechidah of Adam HaRishon. Therefore, you're looking at an individual that has three souls, which is incredible. Now, since he has the Yechidah of Adam, he will have the collective Yechidah, or half of it, of every Jew that lives. And that is how every Jew in the generation of the Mashiach experiences God, or incredible prophecy, because he's got that Yechidah. Now, on the other side is Mashiach ben David. The foundational neshama of Mashiach ben David is David HaMelech. He gives rise, again, to sparks, which are called Shrashim. In every generation, there must be a Shurish of Mashiach ben David. That if that generation merits the redemption, then he will get the crown, the Yechidah of Adam HaRishon, that is designated for the Mashiach ben David. So it comes out that he will be three also. He will be the foundational neshama of David HaMelech. He will also be the Shirish of David HaMelech in the sense of Mashiach ben David. And he will receive the crown of the original Yechid of Adam HaRishon. And in that case, he will also be able to impart the presence of God throughout all the Jews. So here you have two individuals that are Shrashim, that are roots. One is a root of Yosef HaTzadik, and the other is a root of David HaMelech. But neither are Mashiach. They are what's called a candidate for Mashiach, if that generation has the redemption. And when they have the redemption, then the Yechidah is released and crowns both individuals. So it comes out that in any generation, there is always the possibility of Geula, because in each generation, there's always an individual that could be the Mashiach, you see. Now, when the Geula happens, then that Yechidah will be released from what's called its klipa, or it will be released from its inability to crown an individual. And that is really what the Pekida is. The Pekida is a certain time period. And that is when the Yechid of Adam HaRishon separated because of the sin of Adam. When the Yechid of Adam HaRishon becomes released, both to the Mashiach ben Yosef and also to the Mashiach ben David. And that is the incredible time period. That is the true Aschalta de Geula. When that Yechidah is released and now can crown the individual who's called Ben Yosef and the individual who's called Ben David, that is the true Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of redemption, and that is referred to as the Pekida or the remembrance. You see the way it works?
Yes.
Do you understand what I just said?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, you now understand a much deeper level of what you mentioned. So therefore, getting back to your question, the Yechidah, or rather the Shurish of Ben Yosef and Ben David, actually really mostly Ben Yosef, is Nisgalgal. goes from generation to generation to generation. But in each generation, it's not the same person, because there are many Shroshim that emanated from that foundational soul called Yosef. So in each generation, it's a different person, you see, because really it's a different Shirish. That's basically what it is. So there's any number of individuals, so to speak, that can be Mashiach ben Yosef, you see. But what makes a Mashiach is only if he has the crown, which is the Torah, the crown of the Yechid of Adam HaRishon. And so that's what's reincarnated in every single generation, to allow for the fact that if Klal Yisrael is worthy and the Gula happens, whether the Gula happens because of Schus, merit, or whether the Gula happens because of Be'itoi, it must happen, because that is the final time of redemption, that Yechida will light upon an individual that has that Neshama. But what's interesting also is that even the Shirish itself has many Nitzoits, can have sparks. Each spark can enter people. So it comes out that besides the Mashiach ben Yosef, there are also individuals that can contribute to the Messianic process. And therefore, it could come out that there are individuals among the Jewish people that even if they're not the Shirish, and therefore they cannot be the Mashiach ben Yosef, but they are sparks, and therefore they can be part of that process, which is an extraordinarily great merit. Because they're actually parts of that, you see. And that's also true of Mashiach ben David, that there can be Nitzoit sparks that can contribute to his coming, you see. And that's basically what it is. That is the understanding of the spiritual composition of the Mashiach ben Yosef and the Mashiach ben David. So that's basically what
it is. Does Mashiach ben Yosef actually announce himself, or he's undercover doing everything, we really don't know him? Whereas David is more going to be publicized where we see him and physical knowing him.
Well, the interesting thing about Mashiach is that his neshama, especially Mashiach ben Yosef, is entrapped in what's called the tumah, or what's called the klipas. You know, what happens is that he's paralyzed, not literally, but figuratively. In other words, you have an individual that cannot express himself at all, even though to him, he's a phenomenally great spiritual person. And he knows that. But he doesn't understand why he has these terrible problems, that he cannot express or grow in spirituality. There's what's called an incredible blockage or barrier, you see, to accessing the powers that he has or the ability that he has. Because after all, this guy is a Shirish ben Yosef. So his spiritual ability is awesome, you see. And for some reason, and we know why, because he's surrounded by the Satan, and that's part of the whole process of redemption, right? And he can't grow. He's stuck, you see. So therefore, he could be walking around anywhere, right? You'd never know that. Because he comes across as an ordinary person that has unbelievable spiritual potential. Because really, he's a Shirish. Yet, you could be talking to the man and never know that this guy is Mashiach ben Yosef, that he's actually a Shirish, but without the Yechida. You see? And that Yechida is what releases him. You see? And therefore, what can he really do? So, that's called the Yisurei Mashiach ben Yosef. That is called the Yisurim, the sufferings of the Mashiach ben Yosef, you see. And that suffering, by the way, is necessary for him. Why? Because there's a very interesting medrash, fascinating. It's in the Yalkut Shemoni. And here's what it says. It says, at the beginning of time, when God created the neshama of the Mashiach ben Yosef, and I'm referring only to ben Yosef and not ben David, At the beginning of time, what happened is God approached that neshama, and he said to him that in the end of time, many Jews will not be able to get Olam Haba. That's what he said. Because they will not have reached the threshold of being able to get Olam Haba, or for that matter, even Gan Eden. This is what he said. Not all the Jews, but there are many Jews that will not be able to make it, which is terrible. So the Mashiach ben Yosef said to him, okay, that he said that he will accept the sufferings that these people should have gotten, and that would have enabled them to merit Gan Eden and Olam Haba. He will accept the sufferings on these people in order to help them atone for whatever sins they did. And he said also, not only will he accept the suffering of all the Jews in his generation when he comes, but he will accept the sufferings of every Jew that ever lived, which is astounding. In other words, any Jew that ever lived that somehow cannot get into the Olam Haba and Gan Eden. Why? Because the suffering would be greater than what the world can offer, or even Gehenna. He has accepted upon himself, which is awesome. So what he did is he made himself a sacrifice, because he wants every Jew to be able to get into Gan Eden and subsequently into Olam Haba. So God said to him, okay, if you do that, that means that every Jew will get into Olam Haba. So what did God do? He took a yoke that's symbolic, a yoke that you put on top of, you know, a cow, an ox, right? He took an iron yoke and he put it on the neck of the Mashiach ben Yosef. And that is symbolic of all the suffering that has to be atoned for in order for every Jew to get Olam Haba, you see. He put it on his neck, and all of a sudden, the Mashiach ben Yosef bowed. He just bent over, because the weight of that iron yoke was incredible. So the Mashiach ben Yosef started screaming, and he said, I can't bear this. This is impossible for a human being to bear this. So God said to him, because the Boshim wanted him to bear that, so like this he would be able to get every Jew into Olam Haba with merit. So the Boshim said to him, but you promised. So the Boshim said to him, in order to help you, my divine presence will go into Galut, into the exile, you see. And that also helps the Jews. And therefore, you know, that's called Shechinta b'Galuta. That's the Shechina in Golos. So the Mashiach ben Yosef said, okay, it is sufficient for the slave, meaning himself, to be like the master. If you accept upon yourself some aspect of atonement for the Jewish people, so I will somehow bear it. You see, so what we find is something very interesting, is that the Gilgul of Mashiach ben Yosef is not only to enable Klal Yisrael to have a Messiah, Mashiach ben Yosef, if they are worthy of redemption, but it's also to allow him to suffer as an atonement to help the Jewish people survive and get Olam Haba, you see. So that's definitely what's on the agenda, you see. So therefore, but the greatest suffering of all, apparently, is in the last generation that will actually have the redemption. In that way, he suffers terribly. It's sort of like the culmination of all the Gilgulim of Mashiach ben Yosef, you see. And therefore, because of that suffering, the Jews will be able to do that. Now, it's hard for us to envision that. What it means is that here's a guy, right? You want to understand who the Mashiach ben Yosef is? Think about this, okay? It says in Yeshayahu, Nun Beis, 52, it says, Hine Yaschel Avdi, behold, my servant will grow wise. Then it says three expressions of growth. V'yorum, v'nisa, v'gova mi'oid. You see. Now, who is this Avdi? Who is this servant that will grow wise? Which means that he will grow. So the Targum says this is Malka Mashiach. This is the Messiah. Okay? Specifically, it's Mashiach ben Yosef, which tells us that this individual, right, he will grow wise, right? Because in the beginning, he's an ordinary guy. So the Medrash asks, wait a minute, then why does it say that he will grow with three expressions? One expression is V'yorim, and he will become great. So what does that mean? So the Medrash says is that that means that the individual, the Shama, or Shirish, of the real Mashiach ben Yosef, the one who gets the crown, will be greater than Avraham Avinu. Could you imagine what it means to be greater than Avraham Avinu? Then the pasuk continues, and it says, V'nisa, and he will become great. What does that mean? So the Medrash says that he will become greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Could you imagine what that means? We cannot even imagine Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet this man, Mashiach ben Yosef, when he's finally released from his klipa, from his, so to speak, his prison, will be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Medrash now asks, well, there's one more expression of growth, which is v'gova mi'oid, and he will become exceedingly great. So the Medrash says, well, if he's greater than Avram and Moshe, then what's next? And the Medrash answers that he will be greater than the Malachim. Could you imagine an individual who is an ordinary man when he starts out, and he becomes greater than the angels? It's awesome. We cannot even imagine such a person, you see. And that's, so if that's what he grows into, can you imagine what his suffering is? Because he's denied that greatness, that means he is greater than the angels. So he's actually denied that potential into an actuality. Could you imagine what kind of suffering that is? That there's a guy who is greater than the Malachim, greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, and greater than Avraham Avinu, yet in the beginning, who is he? He's an ordinary guy. That if you met in the street, you'd never know who he was. Could you imagine speaking to a guy that has that type of potential? It's unbelievable. Yet that's what happens. Therefore, his suffering allows the Jewish people, all of them, to enter Gan Eden and to enter Olam Haba. That's called the Yisurin of Mashiach ben Yosef. And because he accepted the punishment, the suffering for the punishment of the Jews, he is rewarded with an unbelievable reward. In fact, it says in that Yalkut, that Medrash, that all the others, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, everybody, David HaMelech, they all come over to the Mashiach ben Yosef and they tell him that you are greater than us. Why? Because we did not have to go through what you went through. You went through this as a volunteer to make sure that all the Jews would survive. You see. So could you imagine the greatness of this man that will appear? But what is important to understand is that he starts off as a regular guy, that if you were speaking to him, you'd never know. But his spiritual potential is completely blocked. So that's another reason why he's Nisgalgal. Because in every generation, he suffers for this, you see. But the greatest suffering is in the generation that he will really appear, you see. And what happens is he's released from that prison, and he will begin to grow. So in a certain sense, he doesn't announce his presence. He is his presence, you see. All of a sudden, you and everybody else and all the Jewish people begin to see some guy, and all of a sudden he's changing, and he becomes greater and greater. I mean, think about the greatest tzaddik that you can imagine, right? I mean, all of you have met tzaddikim, I'm sure, right? You have met people who are really gedolim, enormous spiritual people, right? Think of those people, right? Imagine when you meet them, what do you feel? You can feel the spirituality of these people, right? Imagine meeting the Mashiach, but what happens if they grew and they assumed a position 1,000 times greater? Would you need proof? You would stand in front of these guys and shake at their spirituality. That's how difficult it would be for you to receive this. Therefore, this Mashiach ben Yosef, imagine his first stage of growth, he's greater than Avraham Avinu, that itself is unbelievably devastating to the Jewish people. Because how can they tolerate that? They can't. So he doesn't have to prove he's anybody. His mere presence will announce who he is. And guess what? Then he just continues growing. You see? So therefore, that's the concept of the Gilgal. So you now understand the concept of Yechida, of Odom. You now understand the concept of, you know, that he has to grow. You understand the concept of a Shirish is a candidate for the Yechida. And only in the generation that he actually is the Mashiach does he get the Yechida of Odom Arishon, which is the only Neshama that was never contaminated because of the sin. And you also understand his predicament. His predicament is he's an individual, right, that is unbelievably paralyzed initially. You know, if you think about it, the forerunner, if you think about it, is Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, imagine if you lived in Ethiopia, right, where Moshe Rabbeinu was after he ran away from Egypt, right? What would you say? He'd be an ordinary guy. I mean, you'd see obviously that he's a special guy. You know, he seems to have great talents of leadership, right? And I'm sure he would come across as highly gifted. But you would never believe that he's the Moshe Rabbeinu that will speak to God face to face. Of course not. That's beyond belief. Yet, if you met him before the snare, before the burning bush, right? Let's say he ran away when he was 26, because that's when he ran away, when he was 26, right? And all of a sudden, at 40 years old, you happen to meet him, and he happens to live in Ethiopia, because there's all midrashim about that, right? And he's the major general, he's a king. So you'd say, okay, he's an unusual guy, he's really gifted. Boy, he's bright and all that. But you would not feel the unbelievable spiritual potential of this man, right? You would never say that this guy is the man who is the greatest prophet who ever lived and will speak to God face to face. Of course not. You see? That's the same concept as Mashiach ben Yosef. It's like speaking to... In fact, it's even more interesting. Imagine if you met Moshe Rabbeinu when he was 21 years old and he lived in the palace of Pharaoh, Pare, right? He's an Egyptian. He looks like an Egyptian. He dresses like an Egyptian. In fact, you would think that he's just a regular Egyptian. Yeah, you'd feel that there's something special about him, maybe, but that's a million miles from a person who's the greatest prophet who ever lived, and even the Rabbanu Shlom calls him Avdi, and so on. Of course not. He's 21 years old, right? It's the same idea. That's the forerunner of Mashiach ben Yosef, you see. And by the way, the reason why he went into the desert, or he had to run away from Egypt, because that's one of the forms of the suffering of Mashiach ben Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shurish of Mashiach ben Yosef. And he should have been the man, he should have been crowned at Har Sinai. But because the Jews did the Egel, he wasn't. So he remained just a shurish, you see. And the fact that he had to run away is part of the acceptance of Mashiach ben Yosef, you see, as somebody who will atone for the Jewish people. In fact, I'll tell you one more thing. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu not buried? Well, we don't know where his burial site is. And why is he buried outside of Eretz Israel? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, even now, suffers for the Jewish people, but in a spiritual form, because his neshama is denied the proper attachment to God. So the concept of him being buried outside of Israel mirrors the fact that he is not in his right place. Because spiritually, Moshe Rabbeinu is suffering to help the Jewish people survive. You see the way it works? So this is the forerunner. And that's why Egypt is a forerunner, is a model for what will happen. You see. Okay. I think I've answered your question.
Very well, thank you.
I have a question. Yeah. How did the Yechida know to split before the sin of Adam?
Well, intuitively, it probably knew because the Yechida, since it's connected to God, has this incredible sensitivity of tumah. And when it saw, so to speak, that Adam was about to reach for whatever fruit he was about to eat from the, you know, Eitz Hadas, right? He realized that he was about to encounter an unbelievable amount of tumah. So, yeah, obviously, it's incredible sensitivity to Ruchnias, because remember, it's the bridge that connects you to the Ein Sof, to God. So, obviously, it had the capacity to realize it was about to become contaminated. Any more questions?
Can you give us a little bit of Shavuot? What's this holiness connected to the coming of the Mashiach?
Oh, Shavuot. Actually, Shavuot is next, not this Shabbos, but the following Shabbos.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about Shavuot. What if Mashiach could come next week? I'm waiting for a long time. He's not showing up.
Yeah. Nope, he'll show up soon.
And I have a lot of him. What took him so long?
What took him so long? What took him so long, you know what it is, because the Jews have to complete their mission. But part of what took him so long is the fact that, you know, he has to atone or help atone all the Jews. Do you know when there are many tzaddikim that said, well, why is the Mashiach ben Yosef, why is he not coming? So you know what they said? They said, well, when we get to Ilum Ha, when we get to Gan Eden, we are going to talk to the Mashiach and get him to come. There were many tzaddikim that said that, by the way. So obviously the question is, well, why didn't that happen? Why isn't he here? Because I'm sure those tzaddikim kept their word. What was that?
He was suffering somewhere else.
I didn't hear that. What was that?
He was suffering somewhere else.
Well,
can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, that's true, right? But the Yechida, which
it's
is in Gan Eden,
they
asked the Yechida, why didn't he come and crown whoever is the Mashiach ben Yosef? Right? So you know what the Yechida answers?
Mm-hmm.
It says the following. He says, okay, I'll come today, but I'll tell you something. If I come today, that means 400,000 Jews will not get into Olam Haba. Why? Because they have not been atoned for yet. In other words, I have not completed what I said I would do at the beginning of creation. So then the tzaddik says, wait a minute, you're telling me that if you come today, 400,000 Jews will not get into Olam Haba? So the Mashiach, the Yechida of Mashiach ben Yosef says, no, I won't, because I'm coming too soon and I will not have completed the suffering that I undertook, right, at the beginning of creation. So what do you think that tzaddik says? He says, don't come. Because he realizes that if the Mashiach ben Yosef comes, the crown, then hundreds of thousands of Jews, I mean, whoever has not been sufficiently atoned for, will not get Olam Haba. You see, nobody wants that. So it's true on one side that if he comes, right, you know, the Jews will be redeemed. But hundreds of thousands of Jews will not get Olam Haba. And in the end, the critical thing is not the Geula, it's Olam Haba, because that goes on forever. You see? So obviously he says, no way. Obviously tzaddikim say no. If that's the price that is paid because you come early and therefore have not finished your mission, then do not come. Now you understand why. Tzaddikim say that they're going to talk to the Mashiach, the Yechida, and that he should come. And that is why none of them are successful. Not because of the Mashiach ben Yosef, because they say, cancel my request. Because they realize that the price of his coming means that the Jewish people, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, will not get Olam Haba. And nobody wants to take the responsibility for that. And that's why he doesn't come. You see? That's why. It's a very important idea. So he will come when he will have finished, when the Jews will have finished their tikkun, whatever mission they have to do, and he will come when he will have finished the atonement that he provides all the Jewish people. You see? Now that's your answer.
So now, where are we in the sense of, like, last week was Lag BaOmer, and you told us that it had amazing messianic light that brought down into the world. So where are we now with, like, what's our next step in the process of
waiting for him?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the next step or stage?
What comes next? What do we
Well, tomorrow night, which is interesting, tomorrow night is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. So I plan to give a shiur tomorrow night in my kitchen.
Oh, I'm excited.
Wait, how do we hear
yeah.
it?
Well, I'm going to give you, it'll be put on the internet on Wednesday. It's the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, who is the primary teacher of mine for over 50 years. And I'm going to give a shiur tomorrow night, and it will be put on the internet probably Wednesday. Yeah. So there I will deal with, you know, what's happening in terms of the coronavirus and so on, you know. But there's no question that this pandemic that we are experiencing is a very important part, as I once said, once gave a whole shiur about that, is a very important part to bring the world, or actually give it, a great amount of atonement. The problem is that the world, the Jewish people, A, and the world in general, B, they do not deserve a geula, because there's a tremendous amount of accusations against them. So what the Rav Shem does is to remove the accusations. He has to satisfy the judgment, because he created judgment, and therefore he's got to satisfy the judgment, because the redemption can only come when all judgments against the Jewish people will have been satisfied. So what you're looking at is called a cleanup. That's what the coronavirus really is. What?
Is that the pachad mavet? That's how he cleans it up and satisfies the judgment?
Exactly. So the Rav Shem, instead of killing everybody, which is what he did in previous epidemics, there's an enormous amount, you know, the Spanish flu, there's 100,000 people. What am I talking about? 100 million people that died. And the same thing with the bubonic plague and so on. You know, those were the two greatest pandemics, you know. Obviously, like I said, you know, he's using instead the pachad mavis. So that's a very important concept. But the essential idea is that this is a cleanup of the Jewish people, and unfortunately, that's why many Jews are sick, and terribly speaking, tragically, many tremendous choshev people have died. You know, because it's a cleanup, really, in many ways, for the Jewish people, but it embraces the world also. It's a cleanup for the world, because the world has become like Sodom. Terrible. The hashkata of the world is terrible. So therefore, God wants to satisfy the judgment of the entire planet. And that is why it's a pandemic. Because everybody has to be included in some way or another. And even those people who are not sick, fortunately, and thank God they haven't died or gone to the hospital, they also suffer because everybody's stuck in their house, you know. Everybody, the whole world is suffering simultaneously, which is unbelievable. How God pulled this off. Only God can pull this off, where every living soul is suffering in different degrees. But even those people who are not, you know, thank God they didn't die and they're not in the hospital, they have no symptoms, they're also stuck. And besides that, there's another way of suffering, which is economically. No, you know, people aren't doing business anymore, and there are many people, tragically, that will not even be able to open up their business again. They'll go bankrupt, you know, and so on. So everybody's suffering, and even for those people that are not suffering economically, they're stuck to their house, and they can't go out, engage in normal, you know, interaction with other people. You know, they can't engage. And that's suffering. Everybody's confined to their house, you know. Each one at his own way. You know, everybody wants to get out and enjoy themselves, whether it be you go to a restaurant or whatever, you know, and so on, you know. You go to parks, you go on touring, you go traveling, whatever. They can't even do that, which is unbelievable, you see. So everybody's suffering. Each one in his own way, based on to what extent God has to clean them up. Unfortunately, you are looking at a cleanup of the Jewish people. And that's why many people, unfortunately, have died. But that's the stage you're looking at. This is what's called a precursor event. It is an event that precursors, which means precedes, the Geula. In fact, I mentioned this in one of the Shurim, that it says, Omer Rab Chiya Ba'Abo says, right, that Samech LiYemos HaMashiach, before the Messianic era, Dever Godel Yiyah, there will be a great plague. And a Dever Godel is not an epidemic, it's a pandemic. You see, the question is why? Why is this necessary before the Mashiach comes? And the answer is, to satisfy the judgment, both on the Jewish people and to a certain extent even on the world. Fortunately, you know, there's a lot of rachmanis in this, and that is that the atonement is not necessarily death, but it is pachad mavis, which is part of the suffering. And it's, other ways, you know, economically and so on, or just being confined, you see. So therefore, you are looking at a stage that must precede the Mashiach. Because the world is so corrupt in general, and so mushchos, so contaminated, that there has to be some type of a cleanup, some type of a satisfaction of judgment itself, you see. And that's what's happening. So that's the bad news. The good news is that this is the Dever Godel, and therefore, this is a stage before the Mashiach. So therefore, that's the good news. It's not just another pandemic, you know. It is a precursor. It's a preparatory stage of the actual Messianic process. So that's the
Mashiach
good news.
Mashiach ben Yosef could be now, here, but we don't see him physically. And then, God willing, when the pandemic ends, because we cleaned up enough of us,
we grew
more spiritually and closer to Hashem, then right away Mashiach ben David arises.
Yes. Well, not ben David. No.
Next week is David HaMelech. Is that significant of any way?
First is Mashiach ben Yosef. He is the first. Ben David will come
he came already
later.
Here.
Who?
I think Mashiach ben Yosef is here because suddenly everybody's more into classes all day long. I'm listening to classes. I'm enjoying it all day long. I never would do this if it wasn't a pandemic.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of the purposes of the pandemic.
I mean, all day long. You don't know, I must have 6 hours a day of classes, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to stop. I love these Zoom rabbis all day.
Anyway, the quarantine.
Let me tell you something.
Upset about it. I happen to be enjoying this.
Okay, who's upset?
Like people don't like, they're not going to work, the economy. I'm so happy I find myself growing spiritually each and every day more and more and more and more.
Okay. See, one of the purposes of this pandemic is to deny everybody an involvement in the physical world.
That's work.
You see? You can't work, right? You can't shop, basically. You know, you can't go to a restaurant or I mean, you just cannot engage, right? So what do? You're home. What?
You don't even have a desire to go to a restaurant. I wake up in the morning now, I feel weird to put on pants. I'm putting on a skirt to pray.
Okay.
Like, it's very different.
Yes, that's good. That's great. You know, obviously, many people don't do that. You know, they're just sitting there frustrated. You know, their business is dormant, you know, and so on. You know, and they got their kids to worry about that are running all over the house and all that. There's no school. Nobody knows what's going to be in the summer, you know, and so on. Look, everybody's suffering in a different way. But what you're looking at is a precursor, a prerequisite. You're looking at a beginning stage. And that's what that Medrash says, Rav Chiya bar Abba. That's what he means. That the Devar Gadol is a precursor to the Messianic.
It's a precursor to Mashiach ben Yosef coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, not ben David. First ben Yosef. And he has to do, like I say, the first thing he has to do is grow. You see? He's got to leave what's called his klipa, his shell, or his prison.
And that only happens in the Pekida.
That is the Pekida, yes. That's the equivalent, by the way, of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Sneh, the burning bush. That was the Pekida, you see?
Bush.
And that's really what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Shurish of Mashiach ben Yosef in that generation, was released, you see? And the God told them, go. And all of a sudden, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu before the bush and after the bush, in many ways, were two different people.
Right.
You know? Because what happened is that, he certainly was a Shurish of Mashiach ben Yosef. But what was interesting is that he was never really Mashiach ben Yosef.
But
he was
removed.
But did
he know he had a connection to have been the Mashiach ben Yosef?
Yes,
what
is interesting.
He went out to go collect the bones of Yosef. Maybe he felt that he was connected to him.
Yes, exactly. In fact, that's what he did. He took out Yosef because what that means... See, what that means when he took out Yosef, the bones of Yosef, is that the Orishan, the Messianic light, was in the Klipa, you see. Because the Yechida connects to that Messianic light. That's the unique property of the Yechida. And that was in the Klipa, you see. So when he took out Yosef's Hatzadik, the bones and all that, what that meant is that the Yechida itself, to a certain extent, went out of the Klipa, you see. But it didn't crown Moshe Rabbeinu yet, because the Tikkun was not complete, which I'll talk about when I talk about Shavuos. Maybe next week I'll talk about Shavuos, since it proceeds.
I have a question, Rabbi.
What was that?
I have a question. So when I remember you saying that when Mashiach ben Yosef comes, the Shekhinah will come down, not the Shekhinah, sorry, the Beit HaMikdash will come down in a fire, and then all the Jews will run to Israel.
Well, everybody will recognize, yeah.
But some rabbis are saying that
it's going to come down completely.
No, they're saying that Mashiach ben David is going to bring that. Then when Mashiach ben David comes is when we're all going to go to Israel. So is it during
no,
Yosef?
No, that's not
time,
true. No, it's not true. No.
Repeat what is the truth.
Well, let me put it this way. The Gemara, it's Yerushalmi, clearly indicates that the Beit HaMikdash will be built, the third Beit HaMikdash, will be built before Mashiach ben David. Yes?
Okay.
That's what it says. Now, if that's the case, then obviously all the Jews are in Israel. Because who's not going to want to go to Eretz Israel when there's a third Beit HaMikdash, right, which is miraculous? Everybody's going to go. Every Jew will go to Eretz Israel because he realizes this is it. This is the end. We're not talking about a building that is built by people. We're talking about a building that is mostly constructed by God. That's one of the greatest miracles you've ever seen, right? So everybody will go. If that's the case, so the Jewish people will be in Eretz Israel before Mashiach ben David, right? Got it?
Got it.
So what they're saying is incorrect. I mean, I don't know who it is. Well, it doesn't make a difference. I don't want to know. But the main idea is that it's incorrect.
That the Mashiach ben Yosef is going to do the fighting, get killed in the war, and the Mashiach ben David is going to bring in the spirituality.
Well,
when are they going to blow the shofar?
What was that?
When are they blowing the shofar of the Gula, the Mashiach?
That's Mashiach ben David.
Right, and what does that mean when they blow it?
Well, that's the beginning of the Messianic era. Remember I explained to you, I think it was last week?
Yeah, you said it's like translucent. Our bodies become translucent, our souls on the outside and our physical, like
the inside. The
well, that's after the year 6000. But I explained that, I think it was last week or the week before.
200 years from now.
Well, no, that's the matter.
Going to be alive when he comes? Is it during our lifetime?
What was that?
Not David. Is this Mashiach going to be here during my lifetime, or it's going to be after?
How does he know what
life is? Well, I believe it'll be in all of our lifetimes.
Amen.
Wow. Rabbi, what happens if they tell you you're the Mashiach?
If they tell me?
Yeah, you know a lot of things. You could be one of the Shoreshes.
Well, the first thing I will say is, please let me sit down first. I mean, that would be highly interesting. But like I say, therefore, these miracles will happen before Ben David comes. Ben David introduces what's called the Messianic era. That's a different era than Mashiach ben Yosef. In that era, the Satan is killed or eliminated. That means there's no death, there's no disease, there's no decomposition of anything. The physical laws of nature change in a certain way. You see? That's something that we've never seen. That's something that will be similar to the plagues of Egypt, which was supernatural. So in his era, the world will live in a supernatural way. But in Ben Yosef's era, it will be natural, except the spirituality will grow exceedingly. But the Galut will end in the time of Mashiach ben Yosef, not Mashiach ben David. By the time he comes, the Galut is over, and the Jews will be in Eretz Israel, and you will have a Beit HaMikdash. In other words, Mashiach ben Yosef's job is what's called the transition. He is responsible to take the world from one set to another. You see, it's like changing the scenery in a play. He's got to change the scenery. Once the scenery has been changed, let's say for the last act, then Mashiach ben David comes, you see. But he's got to have a different scenery. The one in charge of the scenery, changing it, is Mashiach ben Yosef, you see. Now, there are things, of course, that change also in Mashiach ben David. Like I said, the Satan is destroyed. No more death, no more sickness.
Was it in the year 6000?
What was that? No, long before.
Before Shabbat is 6000.
The year 6000 is the end of this world. And that is the end of the Messianic era, you see. So the time of the Mashiach ben...
All this has to happen before 6000. Once 6000...
6000 is already Saturday morning. We light candles Friday afternoon.
I understand
way before.
That.
It could be like in another 20, 40 years.
I remember a long time ago,
by the year 2028, the world can't exist. A long time ago in Laura's house.
2028? No, I said...
You said that there wasn't enough food for the population.
No, who said that?
You, one time in your class. I remembered it vividly. I go, oh my God, I'm still going to be alive then.
What did I say in 2028?
You said that you think that by the year 2028, there's going to be too many people in the population and that Mashiach has to come before. Not going to be enough food to feed the whole world. I remember you gave a class.
Oh, yeah. Well, that could be. Yeah, but that'll never happen. Look, they're saying at the end of the century, the ocean waters are going to rise because the climate change, it's rising, yeah. I mean, do you know if the ocean water rises 5 feet? Do you know that most of the cities on the, in the world are within within the distance of the ocean? You know that. Most cities are east coast, you know, on the coast. So if the oceans rise, let's say, 5 feet, because all the glaciers would melt, then that's it. I mean, imagine how many hundreds of millions of people will have to move inland. But that's not going to happen. None of this will happen. You know,
Rabbi,
the world now has 7.5 billion people. So obviously, in 2050 or 2100, the world is going to reach a point where there will be, they estimate, 40 billion people. Can you imagine 40 billion people all having to eat 3 meals a day? But that'll never happen. You know, the timing is that Mashiach ben David will come and God will solve the problem. Because a crop, let's say, that produces, let's say, 1,000 bushels of wheat, right, will now produce 100,000 bushels of wheat in the same area. Because the whole thing is Shulei Kederach HaTeva. It's all supernatural. And in many ways, we are witnessing the stages before the end. You see?
Right. Now, do you think any of this has anything to do with today? They burnt the, yesterday they burnt the kever of Mordechai and Esther in Iran?
Yeah, that was terrible.
What do you think? Does this have something to do with Mashiach ben Yosef suffering?
Yes, it does, because Mordechai, right?
Ish ben Yamin is his brother.
Correct. He was from Binyamin, right? And in a certain sense, he could have been Mashiach ben Yosef. Remember, in every generation, there's an individual that's a Sherish, right? And is a candidate for the Yechida to descend upon him. So in the generation of Mordechai, the tshuva, the repentance of the Jews, was so great that the Mashiach should have come.
Now I had another connection with Mashiach ben Yosef, because this I thought so today myself with Mordechai. Today is the yahrzeit of Eli Cohen, the spy, you know, from Syria?
Yeah, yeah.
He also took a lot of suffering for the Jewish
people.
Yeah,
but remember, just because you suffer doesn't make you a Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't confuse that.
Doesn't make you Mashiach.
It doesn't make you
Rabbi, I have a question.
Anyway.
When we go to Israel...
Yeah, okay, one more question. Go ahead.
When we go to Israel for the Mashiach, how does it, like, work? How do you find out what tribe you are? How is everyone going to fit in Israel? Like, what's
the... He will
the...
know. Well, you're talking about an individual that's greater than the Malachim. In other words, he will have not only Ruach HaKodesh, he will be a Novi. He will be able to tell everybody exactly what they need to know. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Think about that.
Well,
if
sure.
You would
so,
ask Moshe Rabbeinu,
like,
he could tell you also. What? You know?
Like Moshe, like everyone used to wait online to speak to him and ask him questions, stuff like that.
Exactly. Sure. Same idea, you know. It'll be, we cannot comprehend what his entry will be.
They say that
individual.
The mountains will flatten in Israel. Is that true?
Yeah. That's a different aspect, you know. That means there will be no barriers, because a mountain is a barrier.
Right.
And there will be no barriers in Israel. Okay.
Yeah.
Love the question.
I hope everybody... understood. I hope everybody understood. Shir.
Thank you, Rabbi. You look beautiful. Thank you.
You know, so it's very fundamental. I you know, and it explains in depth, you know, who the Mashiach is in a spiritual way.